You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Dear Multi-Hyphenate. I am your host, Michael Kushner. And this episode is being recorded in the height of two pandemics. I was really excited when coronavirus hit and I was figuring out how to do work from my own home and my studio and how life changed so drastically. So I got a little slap happy with asking guests to be on Dear Multi-Hyphenate. So I've recorded months in advance, but I am now acknowledging the fact that we are in the middle of two pandemics, one being coronavirus and one being racism. And I am now taking the back seat and unlearning to relearn. And I have a new friend in my life who I'm going to introduce soon, who is doing work that I am so enamored by. He has come into my life recently, and I just wanted to talk with them about numerous different things. But before we get into that, I do want to say that right now on my Instagram, I'm giving space and lending energy to the queer bi POC community by extending a project that I did with a young woman by the name of China, who I met at Covenant House. She came up with this amazing project called I Am Worth It. And I've talked about this before, but she shared with us the project at the last stage and screen Sleep Out with Covenant House in August. And the photo project is to destigmatize homeless youth. And she just needed a photographer. And of course, I volunteered my time. And then the next month we worked together. She directed me, came up with all the art direction, told me what to do, got her friends involved, created the whole movement. And I didn't want it to end just there. So with Covenant House, I asked their permission and China's permission if we can extend it a little more and come up with an addition that would combine the original meaning of pride with the pressing importance of Black Lives Matter. So for the month of June, every day I am posting a photo of some lovely artists that joined me in the park or over FaceTime, and sharing the brilliance of I Am Worth It. A reminder, the subject has two parts that they have to include in this. And it's I am statements, how they see themselves, their brilliance. And then I am not statements, which is, there's some heavy hitters there. And I urge you to go to my Instagram at the Michael Kushner and check out the amazing art that, so many amazing people that I know and love and just getting to know and love are bringing forth. And I'm just incredibly humbled that they would join me on this. So check it out. Let me know what you think. And now I'm going to introduce my new friend. They are a performer. They are an advocate. They are an activist. Dimitri Moise. Hi.
Hi.
How are
you? I'm great. Thanks for using they pronouns. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
This is the first time I'm on something where someone's using my they pronouns.
Well, of course, when we first worked with each other, that was with I Am Worth It. And I remember when I posted the photos, you asked me if I could use your pronouns. And so I, it's identity is really, really important to me. So I just wanted to make sure that you were seen and you were heard. And but you, and just for the record, you do go by he, they. Those are your pronouns, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, cool. Thank you for being here. Thank you for having me.
Of course.
Yes. Yeah, so I open up every episode with the question. Well, I try to at least. I mean, I like to think that I'm a stickler for tradition, but then sometimes I get distracted. I open up the episode with the question, what's the rose and thorn of your day?
What is the rose of my day? Okay. Oh, you know what the rose of my day was? I went on a really lovely morning walk. I try something that I have been doing during this pandemic is spending more time with myself and outside. And, you know, we're not on subways. I'm not like taking Ubers or I'm just at home. So I've been walking a lot and trying to do a walk every morning before I start my work for the day. So I'd say that I had a good walk today. That was the rose.
That's amazing. Yeah. I do the same thing. I walk Sandwich in the morning, my puppy.
Oh my gosh.
And we have the same track and there's this one really, really beautiful building. I think my building is beautiful. I actually really love the building I live in, but there's this one building that we always walk past and, you know, the mornings are cooler. Mm-hmm. And I always walk past that building and it always gives me a little jump start. It's ordained with flowers. Yeah. With flowers, and it's that old school New York sort of a brownstone building. And it always gives me a little.
Oh, I love that. I kind of have the same thing there. I have a couple landmarks near me. One of my favorite museums in the whole country is right around the corner from me. Oh. And I always try and walk past. There's an arts high school. It's a really, really great community. So I always try and walk by those spots and just remind myself like, huh, we're doing okay. All things considered. So
yeah, that's amazing. So what is the museum that you live by?
The Museum of Moving Image.
I've never been there.
Have you never been there?
We'll
oh
go
my God, Michael.
I know.
You must go.
We'll go.
Yeah, we'll go.
It's a date. I love it.
Yes.
So tell me about your thorn. What's your thorn?
I don't know. Racism. That's the thorn.
Yeah, it's a big thorn. So that being said, you
shouldn't laugh at that. I'm so sorry.
No, but that's
I can't help but laugh, right?
There has to be levity at the same time, right? How do you feel about that?
You know, it's so difficult. Like, it's interesting to me to see so many people catch up to where we as Black people have been for so long, right? Like even thinking just about the Broadway community and what's been going on Broadway, you know, these are not new conversations for us as BIPOC people. We've been having these conversations for years. And so now to see all of these things kind of come to light and then so quickly, which is not something that any of us really expected. And then of course, in the wake of what's going on in the world, in America with, you know, Nina Pop, George Floyd, Tony McDade, Breonna Taylor. It's like event after event after event after event. And I kind of just have to tell myself, like, water off a duck's back, because otherwise if I like let all of those feelings and all of those experiences actually affect me, you know, it can be really soul crushing. Do you know what I mean? Like the first 2 weeks of like after George Floyd's murder, I spent like 2 weeks on the couch. I could not get off the couch. I intentionally closed myself off from everyone. I didn't answer phone calls, didn't answer text messages. I even posted on social media, like, do not contact me. Like I normally welcome these discussions and conversations, which I do on a day-to-day basis, but I was like, do not effing call me. And that lasted 2 weeks before I like found real strength to, I don't know, start feeling like I could live a normal life or like try and keep going despite all of the things that are going on.
Thank you for sharing that. Yes, it has been a heavy, heavy time. And you are an actor, We have mm-hmm. seen you. We have seen you do Book of Mormon. We've seen you do mm-hmm. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. But now, in the wake of what's happening in the world, there's a new hyphen that has been added to your artistry, and I think that based on what we've talked about, it's always been there, but now it's really being put sort of to mm-hmm. to the test, and mm-hmm. and that's advocacy and activism. So mm-hmm. I was wondering if you could tell me about how that's kind of been awakened in you, and how you're lending your voice to that.
Yeah. You know, I've always been passionate about advocacy. It's like very, very cliche, but I do derive energy from helping others. And it's something that I've just done my whole life. And my parents are from Haiti. I'm first generation born here in the States. And my parents worked so, so hard. My mom is at the United Nations. My dad works in cardiology. And, you know, when my dad got here, people looked at him as if he, you know, wasn't worth the spit off their shoes, like legitimately. My dad even still gets comments at his office from other doctors and nurses like, oh, he gets paid too much. And why does, and like it, yeah, it's a real thing. Wow. My mom worked and worked to get at the UN, and she's been there for, I think, over 25 years now. And they've given me everything that me and my younger brother could have asked for, and gave us the lives that they wish that they had when they were growing up. And so they instilled that notion of giving back in us from like a very, very young age. I remember even graduating from high school and starting my first year at NYU. And like 2 months in, my mom was like, so you're going to donate to Chaminade, right? And I was like, Mom, I just graduated. I'm not donating money. I don't, I'm 18 years old. She was like, they got you to NYU, so you have to give back to the school.
Yeah.
Like to her, it was like a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. And so I guess that's kind of, that's just been a part of my life. I went to NYU on a service scholarship, the Martin Luther King Junior Dean Scholarship, because I had done a lot of work in high school organizing and volunteering. And then in college, I continued doing volunteer work. I worked primarily with populations of individuals of different abilities. Project Keen is an amazing place in New York City that brings Saturday morning exercise to individuals with all sorts of physical and mental disabilities. And that was something that brought me so much joy. And then I started working as an actor. I started in Book of Mormon. Like the day I graduated was my Broadway debut, which was like insane.
That's amazing.
It was like a full gag and a half. I can't even, what a blessing. no, legit, it was like a whirlwind of a day.
We'll talk about that on my Broadway memory.
Okay, cool.
yeah, because I obviously want to know everything about that. But it's
oh my god.
Yeah, obviously. Oh,
there's the story. I like jumped into like community service even when I was on Broadway. I worked with Broadway Serves, and so anyway, all that to say is I've just been doing a lot of community service work and a lot of in my professional life grassroots organizing. Mm-hmm. And then the 2016 election happened.
Yeah.
And that was something that, oh my God, like I can't even tell you the level of depression I felt after that election.
And it was one of those days where it was, I remember where I was. It was that sort of a day.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And the funny thing about that is I was on tour for the whole year leading up to the election. And I was working on a new project, and so I was able to leave the show I was working on, and I literally planned my last day so that I could be back in New York to vote. And that whole year, every city we were in, for every Hillary Kane sign I saw, we saw probably 25 Trump Penn signs. And so kind of in my spirit, I was like, oh my God. After that election, I got to a point where I was like, I need to do something. Like, I can't just sit here. I can't just post on social media. I don't feel like I'm, I don't know, making a difference, or I just want to feel like I'm doing something for someone out there, you know? And around that time, a former colleague from NYU had reached out to me, and he was talking about how he had this idea for a project he wanted to start. And the more we got to talking, we realized that we had a lot of similarities in what we wanted to do in terms of bringing art sustainability to young Black kids, because the two of us as Black men who are able to go to NYU and have, and follow a really great educational path that allowed us to do really whatever we wanted. We wanted to do that for other young Black kids, you know? And so that's where the first nonprofit I started was born. It's called Torch. And Torch is a nonprofit that focuses on teaching sustainability in the arts to young marginalized groups. So we've worked in the Bronx, we've worked Lower East Side Boys and Girls Club, and now we have a hub in Houston where we work really closely with the city and local governments, and we provide grants to artists in Houston so that they're able to produce and develop their work. And we focus primarily on young students of color.
I want to say this is unbelievable. And, you know, even BFA programs, right? They do not, it is not easy for marginalized communities to be able to audition for them. You know what I mean? It's
absolutely
there. The audition fees, the flights, the, the coachings, like, it is expensive to
even applying to the college.
Yeah, and even applying to the college. There is inherent systemic racism built into even auditioning for BFA programs in colleges.
Oh yeah, you're absolutely correct. And then you can take that even one step further and say, right, like, usually, and this is something that has been said to me even in school, it's like they only accept a certain number of people of kids of color.
Right.
So like, if you're in that pool, then you must be really good because they don't accept all of the Black kids. Do you know what I mean?
Right. There's also the fact that, like, the word diversity, it's to make it, what's an enriching experience. It's enriching for the white student to be surrounded by diversity. It doesn't necessarily make it an enriching experience for a Black student. And it's so insane.
I know. I know. And that's why I'm all the more grateful for my time at NYU, because believe it or not, my entire faculty was Black.
Wow. That's
amazing. That was the first time, college was the first time I saw a teacher who looked like me. I never had a teacher of color until I got to NYU. And I started crying during orientation because I looked up on the stage we were in Kimmel. Doesn't matter. People don't know where Kimmel is. We're in this auditorium, and I look up and I see all of my teachers, and they're all Black. And in that moment, I realized, wow, people who look like me are going to teach me how to do this thing that I want to do in the world. And it was one of the first times I realized the importance of my Blackness.
Oof.
You know? And so, you're right. Marginalized students don't get that. Even when we were working in the Bronx with Torch, we did some summer courses with the kids, and we helped them with improv, and we did some, like, they wanted some theatrical stuff, and we were able to just be mentors to them. And the executive director of this organization we worked with in the Bronx said, a Black woman, she pulled us aside and was like, "You have no idea how happy it is to see two Black men doing this work." She was like, "I do not see Black men around as mentors," and that's not to say that Black men aren't mentors or leaders, because we are. It's just the lack of access, the barriers that are presented. When you have obstacle after obstacle after obstacle, and no matter what you do, you can't get past, eventually you're just going to give up and take whatever's comfortable.
Yeah.
And luckily, my co-founder, Robert, and I had the opportunity to really expand and become the leaders that we wanted to be. And it was so important for that executive director. She was like, "We want you to keep coming here because we need them to see that there are Black men like you in the world, because that is our potential as people, but oftentimes society tells us otherwise.
Yeah. It's the work that we do outside of the theater is just important as, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And, mm-hmm. and that outreach, it's like, I personally go, you know, I'm a New Yorker. I love being here. I don't want to leave New York ever, but ultimately it's just like the election, right? It's like, we live in a little bubble. And sure, mm-hmm. New York is amazing and the best, but we have to be able to see ourselves outside of it in order mm-hmm. for us to like get some of the real work done, you know?
Absolutely. You're so right about that. And I think that's the really important thing that a lot of people are missing. I do some like leadership talks sometimes, and that's what you just said is what I tell to other people. I say, it's really important to learn how to let things go.
Yeah.
Because I feel very often we put our projections of what we think other people will say or react or be like, and our projections of other people have no bearing on who that person is, mm-hmm. what they identify as, what they do. That's just our perception. So we have to be able to let that go and accept the human for that human and their identities and what makes them them. Yeah. Not what you perceive them or want them or try and mold them to be.
And I'm trying to be the best ally that I can be in this moment. And when someone asks me how I am, I ultimately, the response that I usually say is I'm uncomfortable, and rightfully so. It's my time to be uncomfortable and to listen and to engage and to not deflect and not be defensive, but generally just genuinely just be open to understanding how I can just be a better ally and taking initiative for where I've slacked in the past and just how I can be better. And, and it's just, it's a really interesting time right now. And I'm of course grateful to be able to learn, but I just there's so much pain, and that just, I'm going to be honest, it just makes me sad. You know, it just makes me sad that there's so much pain happening right now. And I've contributed to that.
But it's important that you're, you know, give yourself some credit. You're doing,
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, you're doing the work to unlearn and relearn and amplify platforms. So I think you can give yourself some credit, boo. But if you haven't, and for anyone who's listening, one of my friends, he puts these videos on Instagram. They're so great, talking about blackness and how to be an ally. And his name's Brandon Good, Brandon K. Good on Instagram. And he talks about this one video in particular, being a good ally versus being an effective ally.
Okay.
And talks about the difference between both. And I think it's a really interesting, it's just a great analysis on like, there are ways that you can be a good ally to me, but here's how you can actually affect change and be an effective ally in this fight. And I feel like what you're doing, Michael, like, I feel like you're being an effective ally, you know?
Well, thank you. That's very kind of you. I just, I'm just sitting in the uncomfortability of it and just understanding that no matter what I say is going to people, some people will support it and other people won't like what I have, no matter what, you know, some people perceive something as performative, allyship. And I just have to kind of continue to lend energy and create space for this,
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSMusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
But you are lending energy and creating space in a huge way right now. You are involved in an organization called Claim Our Space Now.
Yes, I am.
So can you talk to me about Claim Our Space Now?
Yeah, sure. Okay, so, you know, in the wake of everything, it's just like, it's funny to talk about this because it's something that I'm so passionate about, but it was born out of so much pain and and sadness and trauma. So it's like this weird dichotomous feeling. But I get a phone call a couple of weeks ago from one of my colleagues who I worked on Beautiful with, Marla Lusson. Hey, girl. and she calls me and we start talking about, this was right after George Floyd, and we're just in a lot of pain. And she is unsure of what to do, where to go, kind of like where I was back in 2016. And she tells me, you know, I have this idea and I just wish that we could bring all of our voices together and save Black lives, because this is going to take everyone. And starts talking about this vision she has and building an intersectional coalition and working to make change and all these things. And as Marla's going, I think, wow, this is a really good idea. And to be honest, I realized, and this is something that's not new information, the reason why a lot of these movements have disunity, the reason why I say this, like, Black lives obviously matter, duh, but there's disunity in the Black Lives Matter movement, because when we say Black Lives Matter, really what we're saying is certain Black Lives Matter. We're not saying all Black Lives Matter. And seeing the damage being done to our Black trans brothers and sisters and siblings, it's just it's uncalled for. And so when Marla was talking about, you know, really creating something intersectional, it made me think a lot about my community, my people who are forgotten in a lot of these fights. And I said, you know, this can be something that we can make a little project, or we can really build this into something more substantial. And as we started to form and shape it, it became what is now Claim Our Space Now. And our vision is to embolden urgent action to dismantle white supremacy and save Black lives.
I love it. I want to ask you questions about, for you, sort of what it was like in the theme of multi-hyphenating as well. What, for you, how did you respond to this call to action? What kicked into gear? What sort of proficiencies or skills did you rely on in order to make your impact in getting involved and figuring out your voice within Claim Our Space Now? Because on top of a pandemic, you know, just when we're trying to get our lives in order and dealing with unemployment and figuring out when our next gig is going to come.
Yeah.
Now there's a collective effort for change. So how did you, as an artist and a person, and both, you know, intertwining with each other, tell me about that process and tell me what kicked into gear?
Wow, that's a really good question. And no, well, it's funny that you asked that, because so I'm chair of the board as well as co-founder with Marla. And it's funny, I have yet to chair something in this way, but when I think about all the work that I've done, the boards that I sit on, you know, starting Torch, like, I realized, oh, you actually have a lot of these skills just like right at your disposal.
Yeah.
All you have to do is just take one step at a time. So I would say for me, one of the things that definitely kicked into gear would be my project management skills and organization, because I knew that if this was something that we wanted to do and really turn into an organization, and mind you, like, at this point we were already receiving funds. People were just like, where do I send money? And we had money just sitting around, and And we were like, okay, what should we do? And I said, all right, well, if this is what is happening, then, you know, we've got to file this, we have to incorporate this way. And I kind of just like talked everyone through the steps of what it takes to file and form a nonprofit, which I've already gone through.
Right.
I would say, and this is something that I'm still learning definitely how to do, delegating. I think delegating is something that is so necessary. Having a coalition and having a team, and a team that is open in their dialogue and communication and how to, and their delegation is completely, completely necessary in order to make it work, you know?
Right.
I think we're so used to living in this, well, not anymore because of COVID, but before pre-COVID, this like rat race, audition, 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 grind, 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 hustle, 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 me, me, me. Instead of thinking about how can I uplift the people around me, or if I see someone struggling and if they can only handle 40%, what of the 60% can I take? And if I can't take all of that, maybe there's someone next to me who can grab 15% from me, and then we can help that person, you know? And I think that's what, I really am trying to instill in our entire board and in our coalition is that, you know, don't be afraid to say, I need to take a break. I need to step away. Don't be afraid to tell me how much gas is in your tank. Like, if you don't have 100%, I don't want you to act like you have 100%. Tell me how much percentage you have, and then let us divvy out the rest. Like, that's what we do. And I think as a leader, it's incredibly important to acknowledge that in the people you're working with. I think people come first for me in anything that I do. The work comes next because I just expect the work to be I just expect the work to be good, you know? But I care about, it has to be good. It has to be good.
It has to be
good. I'm like here, my teacher.
Leslie, I know. June is listening out all over. Yes. Glad you got that.
I literally think of my, so Kent Gash is a fantastic director. He's the head of my program. Literally, he would say, you know, the work must be good. It must be good. Are you hitting the notes or are you singing the song?
Legend.
Literally. He's a legend.
But it's true. I mean, and that goes into anything you do, right? It's like, are you just going through the motions or are you doing the work?
Mm-hmm. And just going through the motions will make a person want to retreat, will make a person want to be involved less. And obviously that's not what we want in this coalition. We want us all to be united, all to be working at this together. And so if one of us is down, then it's my responsibility as a leader to acknowledge that and see that and find a way in the best way I know how to lift that person up and make sure that we're not leaving them behind.
You know, I just want to revert back to something that you said, that delegating is not your strong suit. And I talk in workshops when I teach.
I'm sorry. That's really funny.
Well, there are things that, you know, as producers, as activists, as organizers that, you know, those are our proficiencies. And then I talk about this in workshops. What is the difference between a proficiency and a skill, you know? Yeah. And the thing, and your proficiency in this case would be advocacy. And the skill would be, you know, communication, people skills, and delegating. So it's
like that.
Yeah. So like things, of course need work. I'm a producer, but I'm not good at money managing. Mm-hmm. Like when I see numbers, I go cross-eyed, you know what I mean?
Oh my God. Honestly, ditto.
Yeah. And like, so I know I'm just like, I need someone else to look over this. And so, you know, but it only enhances what sort of a producer I want to be and the sort of tasks that I want to, you know, take on. So, and that's something that you just sort of learn as you go, but the meat and potatoes that you're talking about, you know, that's really what goes into the work that we do. Cynthia Henderson, who's a guest on an episode a few weeks ago. Everything's a few weeks ago.
I know.
You know, who knows? But
I don't even know what day it is today.
I know, right? Cynthia Henderson is a is my professor at Ithaca College, and she is the reason for the season for me. I have two women of color in my life that are the reason why I'm here. And that's Elena Garcia, who's a guest on this podcast as well, and Cynthia Henderson, who's also a guest on this podcast as well. And Cynthia always asks the question, what is the why of it all? What is the why of it all? Every time you open your mouth, every time you say anything, every time you do anything, any sort of muscular energy, what is the why of it all? And you know the why of it all, you know? And
you're absolutely right.
You know the why of it all. And also something that she brought forth to me freshman year was that I had a really, really severe self-focused energy, that anytime I stood up on stage, it was all about me and not about the scene partner, not about the other. But that has transformed, that whole idea has transformed into and that is the second step of why. It's why are you doing it and how does it affect the other? And you, my friend, you have answered those questions, you know? So it doesn't matter. You do. And it shows in the work that you do, in the advocacy work, you know, in the activist work. And it's, you know, it's present. It's present there. And then so what? Maybe your delegating skills might need work, but the why of it all is there. Your intention is there. And as long as you have a good, clean intention, then in my opinion, you can't go wrong. You know?
Yeah. I completely agree. I say this to everyone, you know, because we are tackling a lot as an organization, right? Like we galvanized thousands of people around the country for Breonna Taylor. We got the Nederlanders to donate $50,000 to Black Lives Matter. We, you know, had an event last night with a colleague of mine from the NAACP Legal Defense Fund. Our launch event features Rosemary Ketchum, who is the first openly trans elected official in West Virginia. So we're doing a lot of things. But what I say to everyone is, whatever we do, it always has to track back to our mission. Mm-hmm. And our mission is dismantling white supremacy and saving Black lives. So if that thing that you want to work on or you want to bring to us or project, et cetera, is that mission actively working to protect and save Black lives? Yes or no? And if so, then great, let's like dive deeper. But if it's not, then we have to look at it and perhaps it may not align with what we're trying to get done. And that's a really important thing to be able to discern. One of the, you know, it's interesting with the HIV/AIDS movement, for example. Mm-hmm. ACT UP split, because there were differences in where the activists in the 90s, late 80s, early 90s, some people wanted to really go for clinical trials testing, which has led us to the HIV drugs that we have today, and others didn't. And some people wanted to work on these issues and these issues for this community. And it became this like broad, misunderstood fight, because people were trying to layer all of these different things when the purpose of this is to end the HIV epidemic. That's right. What we're here to do, you know? But like, that's what's so beautiful about activism, is that I think there's space for all of it.
Right.
You know, like I welcome people who are doing incredible work in the world, but seeing things in a different lens than I see. Some people don't think that the work should be intersectional. I may disagree with that, but I think that there's still space for that person in the movement. I think their perspective matters, you know? And without all of these perspectives, without the diversity and the way people view the world, how can we arrive at a place that can really be beneficial for all people? You know, like, I think it's a good thing that we have all of these different perspectives. It gets us to think differently.
Yeah. And that's, I think that's good delegating.
I feel like everyone tells me on the board, they're like, give us things to do. And I'm like, okay. That's why I feel like maybe I'm not the best, but I don't know.
I do think that was pretty good delegating, just because you literally were just explaining to me that like, basically, if you have an idea, you should do it as long as it reverts back to our why. And that is literally delegating. Yes. So I think you're a fine delegator.
Oh my God. Wow. Did we just solve this whole problem for me in an episode, in a podcast episode?
You know, magic happens on Dear Multi-Hyphenate. So
thank you, Dear Multi-Hyphenate.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh my God. I literally cannot tongue pop. I get like 2 out of 10. Ah.
Now is the odds are in your favor. Wait. Hold on. No, it's a little baby one. It was a little baby.
A little baby.
It was a little baby tongue pop. Sometimes I like get it. It's like a 2 out of 10 for me as well. But sometimes I'm not. I'm not an Alyssa Edwards. I'm not like a, no, she like dislocates her jaw.
Speaking of, did you watch on Friday?
Yeah, duh. Of course. The funny thing about this is
did she throw that? She threw that lip sync.
I think so. But I mean, I think the whole structure is bizarre to me regardless. I think like, first of all, even if Alyssa like tries to throw a lip sync, it's still so good. And like, obviously like I'm dead over the fact that Shea Coulee just got $20,000. You know what I mean?
I actually can't with that.
It's so good. But really, the whole structure of this season is bizarre to me. I, like listening to Rue explain like spoilers, by the way, but also like,
it's past Sunday. It's Wednesday now.
I give you the weekend. That's it. Yeah. Monday, it's time to talk. Yeah. But, the structure, like listening to Rue explain it, she's like, oh, and then what you'll do is you will go behind this curtain and you will vote while the other person might win the lip sync. And if they do, you're just like, what is happening? This is so weird. I'm sorry, go for it.
No, I was going to say, you know, they needed to have some new plot Survivor twist so that people could still watch. Listen, this is like Survivor meets Big Brother meets like Drag Race meets randomly like Love It or List It, because why are they interior designing apartments? Like, what is going on?
I have literally no idea. But what I think that they should do is that they should not do eliminations. They should still do the lip sync. Listen to me. I see your face. Okay. They should not do
if you all could see my face right now.
I know. It just went, huh? So no eliminations, but what they do is they still do the lip syncs at the end of every episode for the cash tip. This is for All Stars only, but they keep everyone the whole season. And if they're worried about drama, imagine having everyone under the same roof for, 10 weeks.
Wow.
So, it'll come.
But then how do you know who wins?
Right. So there should be a scoreboard that is hidden from the queens, but only the audience sees like the scoring. And then, but there are some like things that they'll throw in. And then when it's the finale, the top three will be announced and they will compete. So like no one knows if they're like the top three or how well they're doing, or like they just know who's winning. So, it could cause some good TV.
That's interesting.
Like, I know. And then that way everyone can participate in different challenges, and we could really see who's good. Like, because people get eliminated and then there's like, Soju from season 11 could have been really good at 6 of the challenges.
Do you think that?
No, I don't.
Soju was the first person. Love you, Soju. Love you, Soju. I don't know about that.
In All Stars, like prove us wrong in All Stars. But I just, you know what I mean? I think that eliminations are they don't work in competitors' favor just because. We all have bad days. We all have days where we mess up. And unfortunately, sometimes it's the first day on the job. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I would like to see everyone compete at the same time and see what happens.
That's interesting. I don't think there's any reality show where that happens.
I don't think there is either. And
maybe British Bake Off? I don't watch British Bake Off like no. everyone. Does no. everyone, do people get eliminated?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Well, Bake Off is, oh man, Bake Off is, I think, the best TV show out there. I think it's the best TV show out there. It's, Remy and I are obsessed with it. Obsessed with it.
I've only seen like a few episodes. I need to get that on the queue.
Now's the time to revisit because it's full of, it's so full of love. It's so joyous. And it's like, oh my God. No spoilers, but Nadia is, she's become a British icon.
Wow.
And she has her own TV show now, but she is just like watching her journey in that show. It's just like actually brilliant. It's brilliant. And your heart just sort of grows 10 times just watching that show. It's an amazing show.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Yeah. I've always known it's like the best show ever. I just haven't like,
it's amazing.
A minute to like sit and watch it all.
So Dimitri, we have to wrap, but I know.
I could talk to you forever.
What'd you say?
I could talk to you forever.
Well, it's a good thing that we're collaborating on a book series in the fall. So you're going to be talking to me forever. I'm so excited that you're joining. More on that later. But yeah, so I'm so glad that you came on the show and talked about call to action and understanding like when it is time to act and understanding how to include your skills and your proficiencies into something that is going to affect change.
And you can always act. You're never too big. You never have too many followers, too little followers. There's always something you can do.
What's really interesting about what you just said is the fact that the conversation of multi-hyphenating is that people, when I was starting out, people have told me that I was not allowed to do that. But I look at so many different celebrities, people that have reached the top of the field, and they are all producing. They are all advocacy work. They are all directing certain episodes of their season. I'm like, they're doing it. Why can't I? I'm just going to start. I'm going to start it out that way. So, you know, this is a perfect example of when to get up off of that chair to stop thinking, to actually act. And you're a perfect example of that when you feel moved from personal experience and from just having the incredible heart that you do to just be an incredibly inspiring artist. And I'm so glad that you've come into my life.
Oh, you're going to make me cry. I'm so glad you're in my life.
Hey, together.
We're friends.
Dimitri, where can we find you on social media?
Yes. You can find me on Instagram at Dimitri, DimitriMoise official. Dimitri Moise official.
Perfect.
And then I'm on Facebook, Dimitri Joseph Moise.
Great. And can we, is there any?
Claim Our Space.
Yeah.
Claim Our Space Now on Instagram at Claim Our Space Now. And on Friday, we're launching, and you can find our website on Friday at claimourspacenow.org.
Mazel. You are amazing.
Oh, you are.
And I will talk to you soon. Thank you so much for joining. And my fabulous listeners, thank you so much for listening to this amazing episode. Always, if you have questions, comments, concerns, please reach out on Instagram at the Michael Kushner, at Dear Multi Hyphenate. And also, My Broadway Memory is back on the air every Thursday, 7 p.m. live. 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we have some amazing, amazing people lined up for you. So grab your playbills and share those memories. And thank you for listening to Dear Multi-Hyphenate. Bye. This podcast is produced by the Broadway Podcast Network. Make sure to find me online via Instagram at TheMichaelKushner or at The Dressing Room Project, or on Twitter at MKushnerPhoto. And visit me online via bpn.fm/DearMultiHyphenate.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com and, of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.